Now, for those caught up in the Poppy Day bomb in Enniskillen, the last 25 years have been a lifetime of suffering, but the memories are as vivid as if it happened just yesterday. On the 8th of November 1987, people were gathering to honour the dead of two world wars when an IRA bomb exploded without warning. Amongst the 11 dead were three married couples, a reserve police officer and several pensioners. Today, their families will gather at the town cenotaph for a service of remembrance. We can join our Fermanagh reporter now, Julian Fowler, who's there.
Yes, good morning, Connor. It strikes me that as I'm speaking to you, a whole new generation who have no first-hand experience of those events are making their way to school this morning. But at the same time, the families of those who died in those events 25 years ago are preparing to remember those events. The bomb had been placed in a building known as the Reading Rooms, and that site is now occupied by the Clinton Centre, which is used as a youth hostel and art gallery. The gable wall of that building collapsed, burying those who'd gathered beneath in the rubble. This morning, the stage is being put up along that wall in preparation for the ceremony, which will begin at 10 o'clock, and a minute's silence will be held at 10:43, the moment when the bomb went off, and the families will lay wreaths in memory of their loved ones. My colleague Helen Jones has been speaking to some of the survivors of the bombing, and her report begins here at the cenotaph.
There's a commemoration there in remembrance of 11 of our neighbours who were killed by a terrorist bomb at this site on Remembrance Sunday, 8th of November 1987. And it names them.
I didn't hear the bomb. All I remember is being pushed forward. There was just this eerie silence. There was nothing except for a shop alarm you could hear in the distance.
Edward Armstrong, Wesley and Bertha Armstrong, Samuel Galt.
I remember thinking, where's my father? And I looked down and my father was lying in the rubble. And I knew right away that he was dead. The best way I can describe his injuries, the way you take a top of an egg.
The rubble, into the building,
the rubble of the building came down on top of me. If you can imagine a pocket of air from the tip of your nose to your chin, and that's all I had to breathe. And I can honestly say that I was breathing my last.
Kitchener and Jesse Johnson, William and Agnes Mullen, Johnny McGaw, Alberta Quinton, and Mary Wilson. Not far from the cenotaph is the Ely Centre, which was set up in the aftermath of the bombing. It currently offers support for survivors and the families of victims. It's a place where thoughts and experiences are shared. For many, it's therapeutic. Upstairs, two people who had never met until now, despite their connection. Aileen Quinton, whose mum, Alberta, died 25 years ago today, and survivor Tommy Halliwell, who helped out in the makeshift morgue.
That's been absolutely confirmed to me by the state of the injuries. She would not have known anything. It took me 17 years to find that out, and I had to wonder whether, you know, you hear the noises of that tape and the groans and the screams and the moans, and there was always part of me that wondered, was she part of that?
There was 10 people brought down in the ambulance. The wee guardian angel was looking after me. And when it went off, I suddenly realised I was on my hunkers. And just mind all the silence and then the screaming and the dust from the door. Johnny McGaw, he was lying on top of the rubble. So we laid him out down, brought him. Like, remember, we got no counselling. None of us ever got counselled since then, skin bomb. Nobody got counselled.
Raw with emotion at times, the survivors speak with real clarity, almost as if it happened just yesterday.
My name's Daphne Stevenson. I was buried in the rubble. I was standing at the edge of the railings, just beside where the folk were that were killed. Never lost consciousness. I was very aware of what was going on. I can honestly say that I was breathing my last. I have to thank the Lord for sparing my life. The next thing, I could hear somebody shouting, there's someone here, and they were pulling the rubble off me.
Put my hands over my head, my face. It was panic stations. People were shouting. People were throwing away bricks and mortar. Possibly thrown into the path of somebody else, because I already cleared that. To my right hand was this gentleman, Wesley Armstrong, giving his dying breath. To my left, I didn't know who the lady was at the time. Subsequently, I realised then it was Mrs. Quinton.
The former Stormont Minister, Sam Foster, recalling the moment he realised the two people he'd been standing beside were dead.
15 minutes before the people of Enniskillen were to have joined hundreds of thousands of others in other towns in silent memory of those who died in two world wars, the bomb exploded. The building it was hidden in disintegrated and a police...
My name is Stephen Galt. My dad and I walked along the Queensbeth Road to the cenotaph. We took up our position. There was a policeman who went past. I had said to my dad, no, who was he? Because he had signalled over, acknowledged, and never got the answer.
Some would describe you as one of the lucky ones. Would you say that you are?
There's times now when my health got really bad in 2006, 2007. There's times that it was that much pain, I did wish that I didn't survive it. But thankfully, I did survive it. My mum lost her. She died about 4 weeks after the 20th anniversary. So this year, I think it's going to be very hard. Not only am I going to remember the memory of my father, but also my late mother as well.
Stephen Galt, who survived the bombing, but whose father, Sammy, didn't. Ending that report by Helen Jones. Painful memories, vivid memories, but 25 years on, stories which the survivors say should still be told so that people will not forget what happened here.